Blog Talk Radio.
Guess what? That's right. Another exciting show. Guasabara Taino Radio. Radio Guasabara Taino. I'd like to thank everyone for once again tuning in. And guess who we have as the co-hostess? Her name is Stephanie Sky. What's up, Stephanie?
Hey, Sanakori.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know what? This is another great show. We had a great show yesterday talking about Arayeke, Yukayeke, and guess what? We're so happy for the feedback. We got a lot of emails about Arayeke, Yukayeke, a tribal experience. There we go. That was a great show. What do you thought about it, Stephanie? Yeah, a lot of people on.
It was a great show. We did. It was a good dynamic that we had yesterday. It was great hearing a little bit about everyone and their community efforts and ways that they feel that they're, you know, going to be honoring not only their ancestors and their tribes, but the community. So it was definitely good. It was inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? I'm excited to share that Guasabara Taino Radio is, in fact, sponsored the official radio show of Arayeke, Yukayeke. What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing.
That's right. You know, a lot of these tribes, both from North America, South America, and all throughout the world, they have their own radio shows, and I think this will be great for us to spread the word. What do you think about Arayeke?
I think it's great. I think it's an amazing opportunity to be able to talk about tribal and community, a great way to discuss tribal matters and really bring awareness to the indigenous community and to the movement that we're going to be starting with Arayeke within the Tainos, you know, in the Taino communities, mm-hmm. and really build that foundation for community amongst the Caribbean tribes and the North American cousins that we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, around 8 years ago, I remember going to maybe 7 years ago, going to the United Nations and the permanent forum. And the special topic was about using media for indigenous efforts, trying to teach either the tribe or the nation or the public about what the nation is about, you know, what the culture is about. And the UN really pushed that whole media thing. And I remember they had some clips from different parts of the world of indigenous people. And they had some indigenous folks from Singapore, Philippines, North America, Canada.
Wow.
And they have some great shows, you know. So I think that's important that we continue that call, right, of sharing information, right, through radio.
No, so, definitely. I agree. I think even bringing some of our North American tribes onto the show and comparing and contrasting and really mm-hmm. building that community relationship amongst one another, that allyship, you know, that kinship, that tribal kinship mm-hmm. Between us and other nations. I think it's going to be amazing. You know, it's a great opportunity to bring awareness mm-hmm. and really provide that equity that we need as tribal nations.
That is so cool. But before we continue, we have the co-host of Spooky Lou Paranormal Power Hour, and his name is Spooky Lou. Where are you from Area 51?
Hey, how's everyone doing?
It's a ghost. Oh, my goodness.
Spooky Lou, man. I tell you, man.
It's the wife.
Guess what? His phone just dropped.
Oh, man.
His call just dropped. Spooky Lou,
oh,
wherever
boy.
You are.
Who's that? I know I heard something.
He's sounding real Wi-Fi Lou-ish right now.
Wait a minute. Wait, is this Wi-Fi Lou?
Wi-Fi Lou back.
Yo, I think Spooky Lou... Spooky.
No idea what's going on.
Wait a minute, Spooky Lou. If this is truly you, give us a sign.
Who's that? I know I heard something. We're gonna come.
I guess it is you, Spooky Lou.
I love the sound effects. Sounds just like it.
That's you getting up in the
That's
morning,
how
right?
I snore. That's how I snore.
Yo, this is too much, man. Listen, before we go on, all right? Stephanie, you got to give... Stephanie Sky has to give us the weather report. What do you got there?
All right. So I guess we can start off with our current location out here in that Lenny Lenape area of New York. We're looking at 43 degrees and clear skies. And then we can move on. We can move on over to San Juan, Puerto Rico, where it is 81 degrees and mostly cloudy. In Port-au-Prince, Haiti, we're looking at 79 degrees, cloudy. And in Trinidad and Tobago, we're looking at 73 degrees with showers currently. In Montego Bay, Cody's favorite place, in Jamaica, 79 degrees, also with showers. In Santo Domingo, it's thunderstorms and 75 degrees. And in beautiful Havana, it is 77 degrees and cloudy.
All right. That sounds like some good weather, man. Oh, man. What do you think about that, Spooky Lou?
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, it's beautiful out here. See where I'm at, so I'm enjoying
tell
my
us,
what's the weather where you are, Lou? What's going on over there?
Right now, it's 73 degrees, and it's just like a real relaxed temperature. It's like not too dry, and it's not too what is it? Not moist. I can't remember the word. I'm out of it right now. But it's super relaxed. So, humid, there you go. It's a, yeah. I'm having one of those nights tonight, but real moist night. No, I'm kidding. But it's a very moist night tonight.
They had to lock you up in Area 51 for at least 2 weeks, right?
Oh, man. if you want to call it Area 51, okay.
That's funny. Well, listen, Spooky Lou, from the last show you co-host, check it out, man. We got a lot of countries lined up. We got a whole bunch. I'm not going to give them all, but check it out. We have Australia has joined us. Bosnia is always with us now. We got Australia. And now, check it out. I was looking at the stats this morning, and I couldn't believe we have a new country, okay? We have a new country that's just joined us. And I like to dedicate this song to this country, and let's see if we can guess it.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine. That's amore.
What do you guys think about that? Italy has joined us.
Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling.
It's not Italian, that's American, by the way.
Was that?
Just letting you know. That's just American, it's not a, it's American, you know, just letting you know.
I don't know, I'm thinking about it.
Well, it's one of my favorite Italian songs, you know.
Well, I love pizza. That's my favorite.
Right,
but hey, love my
when
son.
You dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
Well, you know, there's a town in Italy named Faino, which is interesting. A lot of people think that somehow connected to our ancestors, you know, but. Kind of cool though, right?
Yeah, I remember that. I heard that. I heard that. I remember one time I brought it up and someone told me that. That's really where, you know, we were named after that town. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? You just brought up a good point.
Well, a lot of people think that when Christopher Columbus came over, he used that term, Taino, regarding
that
town.
Italian.
Yeah, so
okay.
It kind of caught on. But, that it came from Italy, it didn't come from the Caribbean, but, you know, that's another show, I think, because I was doing some research on that, you know, but, hey, that'll be a good topic for a show, right? The origins of the word Taino. It's
that's
been
a great,
disputed.
That's a great topic.
It's
that
been disputed over and over.
Yeah,
it's been
absolutely.
Disputed over
Sorry.
And over. It's
that
been disputed over and
guys.
Over. Yep. So, hey, Lou, we're going to give you the floor. Power Hour is yours.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I don't know if it's a wise move tonight, but let's make it happen, people. So, by the way, it was just Halloween. How was your guys' Halloween? What did you guys do?
Sanakori led a walk. I think it was through Lenape territory, right? Sanakori, that's what you did this weekend for Halloween? Or on Halloween?
Yeah, it was on Halloween. Yeah, but you went on the full moon, the blue moon. You were up in Inwood Hill Park.
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, it was good. We got there around 6 p.m., which was the sundown. We started doing some, we started opening up the path. You know, we had some brothers and sisters there. And we went way up at the mountain in Inwood, Shiraka Park. And we definitely saw some beautiful... you know, that spiritual presence.
It was
a great night. Huh?
No. Was anything spooky happen?
Let me tell you something. At one point, and people who know about this in the spiritual realm, at one point it looked like it was a huge fog around us, you know? And basically, I was educating people that, you know, this is an ancestral presence, you know, whenever you see a foggy air, you know. And as soon as we were done, the fog was gone, you know. And what I love and the beauty of ceremony is, you know, it was a still night. There was not one wind. The breeze was, like, pretty much dead. So when people started speaking, when people made some interesting key points, the trees started rattling like rattles, you know, and it was just beautiful. And it was always when someone said something insightful or really powerful, you know, the trees started just reacting to it. And people realized, wow, we're not alone, you know. I said, no, we're definitely not alone. The ancestors are here, you know. We had one person that got a little emotional with the energy. You know, sensitive. We got someone who was also sharing what they heard. I forget what you call that. Clairvoyance is when you can see, and there's the other one where you can hear. You hear voices. You can hear the presence, you know. So we definitely have some clairvoyant stuff going on, too. And it was just a beautiful night. And then at the end, we went way up the mountain where there used to be a medicine wheel. That parks has done a great job trying to get rid of it. But we were right there in the moon, you know, the moon just came out, you know, we saw the clouds going by, and it was a beautiful presence. It was really nice. It was a blue moon too, so it was extra special. Yeah, thanks for asking, Stephanie. Yeah.
Of course. What about you, Steph? How was your Halloween?
It was uneventful. COVID is really doing a number on all of the spooky things I enjoy doing.
You know what's even terrible about that is, like, this is the first Halloween on a Saturday.
That's what makes it so bad. And a full moon, exactly. So I couldn't go outside in Michael Jackson Thriller at all.
Oh, wow. Maybe next year on a Sunday, but it really ruined it for me. Yeah, COVID really, really took a toll, you know. I understand the whole factor of kids running around. Because out here, people seem to not care, so the kids are out there. And, yeah, there's a lot of kids still trick-or-treating. I was shocked. You know, I personally believe in COVID. I personally know it's not fake, but people that are not in the New York area.
Right, everybody needs masks up.
It's sad, but, I mean, what's going on today, a lot of people just don't care, don't believe that it's as bad as they say. But, of course, we know, being from New York, we know plenty of people that were affected or have died, which is sad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mine was uneventful as well, you know. I was planning to go to the cemetery, do a little investigation, and some people wanted to go with me, but due to COVID, we just decided to keep it safe. We had dinner instead. Boring.
Well, that's cute. Boring.
Yeah, it was boring. You know, it was cute. Jack Daniels came to play. That made it a little bit more fun, but that was home early.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. So, I don't know. I was just wondering, since Halloween just passed, what are the origins of Halloween? I mean, you know, but... What is that? Oh my god.
Wait a minute, the studio just got something's going on. We gotta help somebody.
I'm not helping anybody, I'll tell you that right now.
You're just gonna leave it all on me, aren't you?
That's up to you.
Oh, man.
I'm going to call you Creepy Steph.
Here we go. Leave it to the girl.
But, yeah, I was just looking up. I was wondering, Halloween just passed, right? What's today? Is it today Day of the Dead? Oh, that was yesterday.
Yeah, today is the last
Today's
day.
All Souls.
Yeah, the little one.
It is
and then the Catholics also celebrate All Saints Day. So
All Saints Day.
Yeah, specifically Mexico celebrates Día de los Muertos, which is a celebration where they honor their ancestors. And then Catholics celebrate All Saints Day, which is a day of prayer where they too also honor the ancestors, but by praying most of the day. Where the other one is a celebration.
Isn't that very interesting? We have a Halloween and a Day of the Dead and then an All Saints Day, all back to back.
I definitely think it definitely provides perspective. So it has to stem off of something, one major thing, you know. And then, of course, religion comes into play because religion usually takes from other practices, you know, ancient practices. So it's definitely eye-opening, informative. You know, it makes you question, or it makes some people question, how and why do we have these three separate holidays that are completely, you know, different derivatives of an idea, you know, completely different spectrum for all intents and purpose, but it's celebrated back to back to back. Why?
Yeah, I mean, but is it really different? I mean, one is Halloween. It's like all kinds of, you know, it's kids running around in costumes, right? But it really has to do with death, right? People and bad stuff. And then the next day is all about the dead people, the spirits. And then the next day, it's like the church tries to clean it up. You know, it's just kind of an interesting factor there, right? It's like we sin for 2 days, and the third day, let's just pray for, like, forgiveness and the saints to help us, you know. Luke, can you fill us in? I mean, you're pretty much a historian here. Where is the origin from, and why is the trifecta there? How did that come about? Do you have any idea?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold on a second.
Well, Halloween was a Celtic festival.
What
originally. Do you mean? Originally, Halloween was a Celtic festival.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. That was my answer. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I'm sorry, I just came out of church.
Oh, man.
She was saying stuff?
Well, yeah. Halloween is basically All Hallows Eve. It also translates into All Saints Eve. It originally was a Christian feast, and they dedicated it to remembering the dead. So, if I'm remembering it correctly, originally it started off as like a Gaelic festival, like a Celtic festival, and it was done by the church, where people would dress up in costumes and they would dance around a fire, bonfires, divination games, and they told stories and stuff like that. And I guess over time it evolved into this more commercialized idea of what Halloween is. So I guess maybe that's where and how it started off and led into leaving that Christian Celtic idea and turned into this, we're going to go trick-or-treating and get candy from other people's houses and dress like Pokemon type stuff.
I like to add something. You know, I like people know already, I've been in the church for many, many years as a friar. And in the Catholic tradition, I know the communion of saints is so crucial, where when a mass is celebrated, those saints are with the congregation, you know. And then during the celebration of All Souls Day, it's when we pray for the dearly departed, you know, who have gone on. And I know in the Catholic tradition is that whole sense of some spirits. The spirits are waiting for Judgment Day, because they call it rapture, you know. So we pray for the dead, you know. But it's all connected to, I believe, my personal opinion, what I've read, is that whole when the Christian church started expanding from the Jewish to the Greco-Roman world, and beyond, they started accepting different traditions that related to the cult of the dead, or, you know, the spirit world, you know, what they call pagan worship and stuff like that. So they became a lot more liberal because they needed members. They needed church members. So this is what they did. They kind of merged these different traditions, you know, from the Jewish. Then it became Greco-Roman, and then it just expanded more and more. By the time the church reached Mexico, wow, that took a whole, I should say the Americas, talk about syncretization, everything just like, wow, you know. Then you got the African influence with the Orishas, you know, spirits play a huge role, you know. I don't know, in Mexico, the Day of the Dead, you know.
Yeah.
Honoring those ancestors, right? And that's very tiny,
with
right?
The altars.
Yeah, with the altars, definitely.
And in the show, you know, we talked about the creation stories, right? Yahya and Yahya. Yahya took the bones of Yahya and he put them in the gore and he hung it on top of the raptors there of the Bohio. Bartolome de las Casas, when he visited Bohios, he was the one that reported that they were, and Ramon Panay, that every Bohio had bones, ancestral bones, you know. So this is very, very important, this whole, you know, honoring the dead, you know.
Honoring the ancestors.
So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I have a question. So you're saying that some of our ancestors is written that they kept, like relative bones, like human beings, bone, like people's bones in their home?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Like
you know? Mm-hmm. They kept it in gourds, you know. And then when the Spaniards saw that, they thought it was, like, satanic, you know. That's where a lot of that
and
like
what,
cannibalism. Mm-hmm.
Well, what was the purpose of keeping those bones in their homes?
I'm glad you asked that. Okay, you know how we all individuals, we all have, you know, unique talents and gifts as human beings, you know, and we share this with the community, right? Well, the dead also have unique gifts and responsibilities. They're individuals too, not like humans, but they also have a role. And the role they play in the community is that they're the valor that they left behind, how they live their lives. So those bones that you see in the gourds is probably a great grandfather, a great grandmother who was a true role model for the community. So when they die, they'll eventually, you know, take the bones and put in the gourds, a reminder, you know, our great grandmother's with us, you know, and she's honoring us with her presence through the bones, but also the example that she left behind, you know? And we also believe that the dead, they had life as well, different from ours. The opias, mm-hmm. you know, they'll come out at night. So, you know, so for us, life and death was parallel. It was these parallel existences. And those bones kept us straight and narrow, right? You know, these were examples. So, and there was even a ritual that was witnessed when a certain time, the Bihikes, you know, and certain family members will get together and they will actually grind the bones into powder and then we'll mix it in the drink. And they would consume that, and the reason they did that was to consume the valor, the honor of that person, you know, to make you a better person. So it's the merging of life and death together, you know. Really powerful.
Huh, that is deep. So they believed that they were actually intaking someone's energy or soul or something when they would drink.
That's it.
These drinks out of the bones.
And have
to
be a special person. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What do you mean by special?
Had to be a person that was of high moral standard in the community, you know, that for them to remember, you know what I mean? And it passed down that energy, you know. So it had to be someone really, really powerful. A lot of them were caciques, you know, or they were relatives. You know, maybe it was a Bejique, someone who did something really great in the community. And you want to absorb that energy, that valor, you know, that they left behind. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, that's just pretty interesting. It's also kind of spooky, you know. yeah, I mean, today's very day and age. You see something like that going on. That's where probably, you know, cannibalism and all kinds of devil worshiping, people might be mistaking that, you know, as where, you know, for them, it was just traditions of respect. But, you know, it's interesting also that you mentioned that, because I didn't know that. You know, I'm not going to mention any other tribes, but I heard there's a spiritual kind of, that's also a ritual for what I've heard, you know, for a tribe to conjure up, like, bad things as well. Kind of doing something similar to that. I don't want to get into it too deep, because I don't want to offend anyone. You know, if they ever come across this, but it's interesting you say that because it's a belief that carries over. You know. Hello. So I guess we lost Lou. Did we lose Lou?
Wait. So are you? I'm just taking some notes. Are you referring to certain tribes that practice? I missed the last part you said.
So what I would say is interesting you say that because, yes, I've heard So I'll just throw it out there, right? And I'm not here to offend any other tribe or anything like that. But
oh,
I was contacted
before.
Yeah, I was contacted before one time by someone who practiced skinwalking. And they gave me a lot of information, secret information on how it's done, and they asked me, you know, it was a deep conversation because of who I was when I was doing the Wi-Fi lead. They knew how I had the podcast, and they knew who I was, so they reached out to me, and they just really explained to me the purpose and how it's done, how the ritual goes, like step by step, stuff that no one, you know, is supposed to know. And, you know, so there was something similar that reminded me of that when you brought that up as to what was explained to me, you know. And it was a way to get those powers to become a skinwalker, you know. But I was also told that when you do that, you really have to know what you're doing. And if you don't, I'm not going to speak for them, right? It was told to me that if you don't know what you're doing, and if you are not strong enough, that animal spirit or whatever you conjure up can take over you. I mean, you could lose your mind and stuff like that.
That's true.
So it just really made me think, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Luke.
Wow. So this is, So these are the skinwalkers. These are the people who can turn form, right, into human to animal form, right?
Exactly. They can take an animal form and or anything.
I was actually doing some research on YouTube for Chupacabra, and I ran into this a documentary on skinwalkers. You know, and it was but it was connected to Bigfoot for some reason. They were trying to tie it all together, Bigfoot, skinwalker, and they had a Native American man with his son. And he was, I forget what tribe, but he was like the medicine man, you know? And they were camping out at night, and he was talking about skinwalkers. That Bigfoot is probably a skinwalker, you know? That's why, so he got into that, you know? It's quite an interesting show.
Interesting.
Quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
It is. But once again, the whole reason why I brought it up is because the fact that the Ainos believe that taking someone's bones and grinding and drinking it gives you some sort of power. It was something very similar to what I was told is the process to become a skinwalker.
Wow, look at that.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow. So these beliefs have been carried on in America forever. You know, it looks like it. You know, I was also coming across, as far as Day of the Dead, that the roots of Day of the Dead actually came from I was looking up here about 3,000 years ago, rituals honoring the dead, right? It was pre-Columbus, Mesoamerica, and it was done by the Aztecs. The Nahua people, you know about the Nahuas?
Who's that?
The Nahua, N-A-H-U-A.
Okay.
They're in central Mexico.
Yeah, they're
saying a lot of them. You heard of them? So
yeah, because they make these little baskets.
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
No, they're famous for making these little baskets, like really intricate baskets. It's amazing. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just reading. It's also interesting that the other ones part of the world, you know, Halloween was being created, as where this side of the world, you know, there was the origins comes from the Aztecs or from the Nahua people about 3,000 years ago. How they've been celebrating. But of course, it makes sense, right? Because it all has to do with death and the afterlife. So I can see the connection, just different ways of how we celebrate quote unquote Halloween or Day of the Dead.
Definitely. Oh, man, I'll tell you. You know, I remember as a child, I mentioned in the show before, my great grandmother who raised me was a espiritita, spiritualist. And she mixed a lot of, you know, the santos and tobacco and all that, you know. She synchronized the whole thing. But check this out. On Day of the Dead, right, she always had, well, we call it Old Souls Day. She always had all these candles throughout the apartment. I used to love it. Every room had candles, especially the tub, the bathtub, had all the candles. And I remember asking her, and she always just say, you have to stay quiet because the spirits are here. These are all the relatives, and even the relatives we didn't know. I don't know. They're here, you know. I was like, whoa. It was always like kind of eerie that night, but I always loved it, you know. It's like, wow, I see candles all over the place. And she wouldn't go to sleep until all the candles were off, you know. So this is like a special night, those memories, you know. The candles. She usually used the Sabbath candles. They'd be dripping.
The little Jewish boxes that has Hebrew written on them. My grandmother had those.
She'll get like three boxes, man. She'll have on the stove and the sink. You know, she'll put it in the living room. You know, someone she put in a Cafe Butelo can, she'll put it in there, you know. That was cool. Then she'll have it in the tub. So I was like, yeah. So tonight, you know, I'm doing that before I go to sleep.
Why? Candles?
Yeah, man, got to honor the dead. Got to honor those ancestors who are still with us, right?
Yeah. Tonight's the last night.
Wait, I don't believe this. Hold on. Oh, my God. We got the special field reporter. He's tuning in. Yo, Spooky Lou, you don't understand who this is. This is Lou Stars from a remote location. Lou Star. Spooky Lou, you gotta interview this guy. Thank you, Lou Star.
What you give him? That's the intro. Oh my God.
Lou Star finally appears. Can you believe that, Stephanie? It's Lou Star.
He's very fluent
in the Arawak language.
I'm not even going to go there.
Come on, Spooky Lou. Tell about Lou Star and this song.
Oh my Lord.
He's speechless. Spooky Lou is speechless. What's going on, man?
I am speechless. You're bringing back memories of saving it.
What happened, man? Huh?
You tell me.
Stephanie, this is get your thing told again.
No, be my guest. You tell us.
Well, Lou and I, we used to be in an old show, you know, different radio show. And this is an Arawak. This is an Arawak singer from back in the day. This album was produced, I think, in the 1960s, you know, 70s. So, just want you to listen, Stephanie. See if we can guess what he's singing about.
Sapada, 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 sapada. Orale, sapada, sapada, sapada. Sapada. Sapada, I don't know. Sapada, sapada.
Obviously, he doesn't know, but let me see if you know, Stephanie. She's speechless, too.
I wanted the folks to say he's singing about a woman. But I don't know, because I don't know.
Yo, Lou,
well,
he's on
thinking about what he. I think he's thinking about what he would like to do to that woman. That's right.
Hey,
it's actually an old.
I still win.
You do.
Well, this
you do.
This has nothing to do with dead things, but it definitely it's an old Arawak song about fornication.
I don't know I'm from like Halloween to fornication, but that's always a hot topic. Don't get me wrong. I told you it's a moist night. It's weird.
But if this guy ever got caught, he'll probably be part of the All Souls Day, right? If he was in the court.
Yeah,
you never know
probably.
If he ever got caught.
No,
no, we got caught. So here we go. There we was. Thank you, Lou Star, for making a guest appearance. We know what he was doing. We know what he was doing all this time.
Lucky guy.
Oh, man.
Dead spooky Lou, go for it.
All right, I'm speechless. I mean, I'm still thinking about this stuff of the guy, you know? But, got me. I was going to ask, Stephanie, you know, you grew up in Long Island, right? You lived there pretty much your whole
life?
I did.
Not my whole life, but a good amount of time.
So growing up in Staten Island, you know, did you guys have, like, any urban legends or any scary stories that you heard about that happened, like, tragically on Halloween night? Besides the Amityville
Halloween.
Horror story.
Mm-hmm. So there's this, it's like a little bridge, right, out in Nassau County. And I believe it's in Hicksville. If it's not in Hicksville, it's around Hicksville. I think around Broad Hollow Road. And back in the day, there used to be an insane asylum there. And allegedly what happened in the insane asylum was that the wards of the asylum would take advantage of the patients. And a lot of malpractice was done. A lot of experimentation was done. They had a few fires inside the physical locations itself, like in different wings. And then after a while, it just got shut down. It was condemned. And legend says that if you go into that area, once you drive past, like while you're driving past, you'll occasionally see people or see things in like the street or by the building, sometimes in the windows. But if you drive a little bit further down, close to where the overpass is, like this little brick bridge overpass, if you drive close enough to it at a certain time at night, like early in the morning, late, you know, at night, that 12 to 3-ish realm, your car will turn off, like just completely shut off, complete engine cut off. And
wow.
Sometimes the engine will cut off and the car will slowly move forward. And nothing turns on. The radio won't turn on. Your headlights won't turn on. And you're just sitting there in front of this dark overpass until someone magically pops up, like right in front of your car, and then all your stuff turns back on.
Very,
and
very interesting.
On,
very cool.
Once it turns on, they're gone. So I've been trying to find somebody to come with me. to see if I can experience, but everybody I know is chicken. So I can't say whether it's true or not because I've never experienced it, but it is a legend that I've heard of and I've wanted to go for the last 8 years and it's never happened. But maybe sooner than later, I'll probably try and do it on my own and maybe record it just for, you know, sole purpose of the show. And then I can play back the audio for you guys, and you can hear how much of a chicken I I am that night.
Man.
Because if that happens,
Yeah. Hey, Lou, can I hear my...
If that happens, and I have to experience it.
Hey, Lou, can I share my story?
Yeah, of course.
And I know you know this story because we spoke about this, but since this is a very sensitive topic, I'm not going to mention who are the players behind this. Or, I mean, not the players, the historical figures behind this. It's to protect identities, you know. But
But
I was invited to do a ceremony for some people that were massacred, were killed, they were murdered in the jail. And so we went to the old jail cell where the people were kept, and it was straight out of a movie. It was raining like crazy, cold, rainy. It was a small town. I won't mention the state, but it was just like, oh my God, you just felt in your bones. And I remember I went to the door. It was the original door of this jail cell, of this jail, which was, I would say, circa 1840s around there. And what happened was I put my hands on the doors and said a prayer, you know, for the souls of the people who were killed, right? And then I remember my friend put his face right on the door because he said he heard something. So he put his, like, you know when you put your ear to the door, right? All of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to absorb the energy and then, you know, prayer, and all of a sudden you hear this boom, 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 boom from inside. Like, all these, like, people are banging, you know? So my friend was like, oh, shit, what's going on? You know what I mean? He got spooked out. And I just felt, like, this overwhelming energy, and I was kind of, it was like getting hit with lightning, you know? And I'm like, oh, damn, they're in there. There's people in there, you know? They're in there, you know? That's all I kept saying. And then we're like, what? And then all of a sudden, it's... Right now, it's a museum, and what happened was, I guess the security came out to see what the hell was going on. You know, there was a camera, too. And we said, no, it's all right, brother. We're doing a ceremony and blah, blah, blah. And then my friend asked him, what's in here? What's in this room? You know, because we hear people in there. And he's like, no, it's impossible. That's a storage room. We don't allow anyone in there, you know. And we're like, whoa, you know? And then we said a prayer. And then we walked away. And once again, bah, 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 we heard the banging, like, get us out, get us out. That kind of banging, you know? And I was like, whoa. So then my friend, we went to another spot. It was a parking lot of where the bodies were eventually taken before they were buried. So... You know, we're talking, give me the history lesson. He leaves, right? He's gone. It's really late at night, and I'm ready to go in my car. So I'm just chilling there, and I put the GPS on my car, right? And I'm like, all right, I got a three-hour ride, drive back home. And I'm with the chills, you know? So I leave the town, and I'm in the middle of cornfields, you know? And the GPS says, make a left, make a right, make another left, 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 right, right. I'm like, where the hell am I going? And then, boom, guess where I ended up? Back to the town. And I kept going to a street. This happened to me three times. My GPS brought me to the same street. Finally, I said, it's a malfunction, you know? Maybe with the rain and stuff. So I called my friend. I'm like, listen, I'm stuck in the town. I don't know what the hell was going on. My GPS is rampant, and my phone's not working well. So then he goes, where are you? And I give him the street number, the street. He says, oh, my God, turn to your left. And I turn to my left. He said, what do you see? I'm like, I give him the other street name. And he's like, keep looking straight. Boom, guess what? That was the place we were at, the house. With the banging, it kept bringing me to the same spot over at least three times, you know? So finally, I got directions how to get out of that town, back to the highway. And it was the scariest thing because I felt like these spirits were like, don't leave, you know? We need your help.
Yeah, they didn't want you to go.
Yeah, man. I kept going back. And the thing is, my car was parked right over where the bodies were dumped by the local town back in the 1800s. So it must have, like, boom, attached itself somehow, the energy, you know? So finally, we're planning to go back. See, I don't have a car anymore, but they want me to come back and do something, you know? But that's like, yeah, man, it's very historical.
Wait a minute, what about me?
Oh, let me ask you this. We're going to make this happen. We're going to go ghost hunt. We're going to film this, and we're going to show it. But I have a question. When you heard the bang, did you hear any voices or no?
My friend did. My friend heard the voices first. That's why he put his ear to the door. He thought they were calling from inside, like a security guard or something. And then when he put his ear to it, that's when the banging started, like, bah, bah, bah. And he jumped, like, for dear life, you know. And
wow.
We all heard it. We all heard it. And that's why security came out. I said, hey, what you doing there, you know? They thought it was us banging, you know. So I'm like, whoa, this is deep, man. And it said this is where these people were murdered, you know. And my interpretation is I don't think they know they're dead because they're trying to get out of there. It's like they're stuck in there. It's like maybe a portal or something, and they're just stuck.
But wait a minute. Is the story? Who murdered them?
Hmm?
What occurred? Do you know the story?
It's very sensitive. I really can't share. It's really sensitive. I really don't want to share this to protect the...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to protect the people involved, you know, because they have descendants, you know. But it was a murder. It was a murder scene, you know. And with families in there, you know, that were brutally murdered. So that's why they asked me. There was a lot of paranormal activity. So my friend invited me to, you know, but he get to do a ceremony for him. I was like, whoa. And it was like rainy day. I remember it was raining, pouring, like straight out of a movie, you know. And it's like this old door, you know, old wooden door, 1800s, you know. It was something like, you know, Count Dracula, you know. It was like, oh my God. You know what I mean? It was just, but I'm going back though. Yeah, I was invited back to do something. And because those people are in there, those spirits are in there, you know.
Right.
And they sounded desperate, like they needed to get out. That was the spooky thing right there. Like, oh my God. So maybe there are spirits who are trapped, you know. Maybe they don't know they're dead because you know, they were killed by guns, huh?
That happens a lot.
Oh really? You encounter that, or you read about that?
No, I've experienced it. So I actually have a cemetery basically in my backyard. So my property sits right next to a cemetery. And, you know, I've already discussed with everyone, I'm super sensitive. So when I used to walk to middle school, I would hop the gate, like the fence to get into the cemetery. And I would cut through the cemetery to get to my middle school. And, you know, it's literally right next door to the cemetery. So as someone who can assist the dead, and at that time being that age, I didn't know how to open and close myself to be able to receive and not receive the interactions with dead people. I would get told often, you know, or approached often by dead people, like spirits, physical manifestations of spirits who are looking to move on, as if it was regular conversation. And they had no idea that they were not there, that they're no longer here. And they wouldn't understand how to process it once the information is given to them. And at first it scared the crap out of me because why are you talking to me? What is going on right now? But once I learned how to handle it, it's become kind of almost my thing, where I help spirits cross over to whatever it is that they have to get to, and just allow them the opportunity to remove themselves from being physically here. So sometimes I'll do ceremony for them. Other times, it's a guiding conversation, I guess you can say, for them to figure out exactly what it is that has them tethered here so that they can find their way to where they belong. But it happens a lot. Spirits sometimes really get stuck here when we lose people and we don't grieve them properly. We create a spiritual tie to them, and it doesn't allow them to move on. So sometimes they're stuck here and they have absolutely no idea why, because they're ready to move on, but somebody that they care about isn't ready to let them go. And it kind of keeps them here like with unfinished business, and they can't cross over with that unfinished business.
Wow. So they can't cross over, huh?
No. Sometimes they don't know how to cross over. Sometimes they don't even know that they're dead. Like people who die in their sleep sometimes have no idea that they're dead. So they just walk around inside of the homes that they occupied as if it's something in a movie where, you know, they woke up and they're living a regular lifestyle, and then next thing you know, nothing is going for them in the right way because they're physically not here anymore. So sometimes, yeah, no, the spirits don't know that they've passed on and they're no longer physically here.
You know, I had a case. You know, I had a case where I went. I was hired to go into a museum, to do like a cleansing ceremony. But I couldn't use smoke, so I couldn't use sage, tobacco, or anything. So I used water. You know, water mixed with some tobacco and sage. And what happened was, I'm like a blind bat. I really can't. 95% I can't see. I just can't see, but I can hear and feel. I just don't see. Maybe that's why I'm not afraid to go into these situations. I can't see. But I always bring someone who's a clairvoyant, and it was one person that came with me who was available. Hello, you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the clairvoyant was late, right? And then what was the weird part about it, see, we're in the museum, we're on shutdown, there's no visitors, whatever. Person came late, no texting, and all of a sudden we hear a knock, pa, 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 pa. Then they're like, oh, it's finally her. And then we brought her in the museum, and then my friend was like, whoa, this is cool. I'm like, what do you mean? Wow, you got reenactor, what do you call that? Reenacting actors, whatever. And then the person working at the museum said, what do you mean? He says, man, there was a woman out there who was, you know, of the era. It was the early Dutch, you know. You know, the way she was dressed was so authentic. And we're like, I mean, not me, her. She was like, we don't have anyone dressed like that. Or we don't do any of that. She says, oh, that's when we realized, oh, man, they're outside the house too. You know what I mean?
Yikes.
So to make a long story short, I had to go back two more times, and we finally figured out there was a spirit in the museum, and it was a slave girl. It was a slave African girl, and what we gathered was that she was like a love slave, and she was stuck in the basement. You know, the energy was there.
Oh my.
You know, but for some reason she didn't want to leave. So I never really got a chance to go back a fourth time. But there was a lot of spirits that did leave. And it was that one spirit just refused to leave, which was sad, you know. And the clairvoyant saw it. It's like a little girl. And she hung out in the basement, you know, in the dark. So it was interesting.
Wow.
That kind of blew me away, you know. And so, you know, we tried, you know, but she didn't want none of it. And then the person said every morning when she opened the museum, there was always they had a traditional desk that was of the era of the house, like 1600s and late 1600s. And the drawer will always be open in the morning. before she leaves at night, she will close it. In the morning, it'll be open. So it's like the little girl telling her, like, you know, I'm here, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, the spirits are alive and well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Alive
and
well.
And it's important that they're honored.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you said the spirits are alive and well.
Yeah, right. Well, some are well, I guess some are. Yeah.
Well, none of them are alive, but they're all dead.
Well, not in human form, I should say, right? But they are alive, but not in humans.
I'm just kidding. No, I know.
Now, as I said that, my studio just went dead. Oh my god, I have plenty of battery life, but I just lost my studio. Isn't that something? But we're still on the air. Well, talking up the thing, right. This is what happens. Go ahead. Well, I'll try to get the studio up and running. Just got a power shortage.
No, these are very interesting stories, you know, that you guys have experienced. You know, and on Halloween, even more so, it's just sad that COVID, you know, affected everything terribly this year. But hopefully next year, things will change. And then, I don't know, we should get together, and then we should all take a trip down to where Creepy Steph wants to go and experience the car movie. And then we go to Pennsylvania together, or wherever that place was at. Sorry. Where Lou had his experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm going down for a road trip. Y'all just tell me where to go.
We're gonna plan this. Well, good.
Well, I want to go to Area 51. You know.
Ay bendito, no, por favor.
Oh my god.
The last thing
we're
I need
cold,
to do is fight aliens so that they beam you back down.
I know, right? No, but I think it's important that we continue these shows, you know, because it helps people. Maybe, you know, in the future we can have an open panel, have people share their stories, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. It'd be very nice. And how much
what?
Time do we have?
We ran out of time. As my studio went down, I just got it back just now, and we have run out of time, man. So what you all think? Last final remarks until we off the air.
Last final remarks is honor your ancestors. Always honor your ancestors, regardless of the situation. Find a way to give reverence at any given time, any given day. But especially on days like these, it might be spooky. You might get a response, but it's worth it in the end.
That's powerful stuff. How about you, Lou?
I agree with what Creepy Scott said. I also am, I don't know, I love Halloween. I'm going to continue to celebrate it and continue out there and communicating with the spirits of the dead, because it's just something I've always done, and it's just something I find intriguing, you know. But as long as you do it in a safe way, because like Pete said, it always works, it's true. But sometimes you never know, you might get something that's not, you didn't call for, and that's when things can get a little extra spooky. And then we have to call someone like Lou to come help you. Or even TV stuff.
Yeah. But one day we gotta do a YouTube show. We go on the road, man. You see what we can do. So
yeah, I have some footage. I have some footage of when I was up in Canada and I did that ghost hunting out there, especially in the reservation. I caught something, I don't know, it was scary, man. It looked like a demon to me. And that you know what, I'll share that story when we have more time. It was a scary situation. I really think it also like caused me like bad luck. It was just a bad situation that I came across out there. Yeah, it was terrible.
That sounds like a good show for Monday.
We could do it next week, you know?
All right. So I'll share some Ghost Hunting stories.
So we'll close the show with thank you all again. Thank Italy for tuning in. All you great countries out there tuning in. We'll close the show with Louis, Spooky Lou's theme song. Till next time, next Monday.
Who's that? I know I heard something. Rebecca, would you mind opening your eyes? What is that? What would you do? I heard you. Now I need you running quickly. There's no one's on with this.
Oh, okay.
Help me.
I'm so scared.
Help me.